This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Well, you know how it feels, especially this time of year, as it gets a little colder. Sometimes there's even a little frost on the morning ground. You have every intention of going out for a run or a bike ride. But when it comes to exercising on a regular basis, well, easier said than done for many of us.
A new fitness movement in Boston really gets that challenge. It's called the November Project, and it's a group that uses community, crowdsourcing, and sure, some good-natured guilt to get people moving. Here to tell us more is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hi, Meghna.
So how did you first find out about the November Project?
Well, I actually stumbled upon the November Project one morning. I was doing a regular run of mine. Actually, calling it a run is wrong. It's more like a rapid plod up a hill, a very, very steep hill off of Beacon Street in Brookline. And suddenly this morning at about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, there was this herd of like 200 runners on this hill, and they were going far, far faster than I could ever even think of going. And so I, of course, asked the natural question, which was, who is this? Who are you? And somebody shouted back, we're the November Project. And I said, what's that? And then I never heard the answer. So by about 7 o'clock, everybody was kind of gathering at the bottom of the hill, and I spoke to one of the organizers who explained that the November Project is a free grassroots morning fitness movement in Boston that basically just meets three times a week at 6:30 in the morning at various places, and they work out together.
Year-round or just in November?
Well, November is that sort of crux month when it gets so hard to get out of bed and it's darker and it's colder. And so the two founders, Brogan Graham and Boyan Mandarick, were former rowing buddies who realized that every November their fitness would start to slide. And so they created, first just for the two of them, and then for a broader and broader public, they created this November Project to help them through. But it is year-round, and it is weatherproof. So even last Monday when Sandy was coming, that was no excuse
to
miss it.
What's a typical 6:30 a.m. session like?
Their workouts vary, but they are all scalable, meaning you can be a super elite athlete, which they have quite a few of, or you can be a newbie just off the couch. Basically, Mondays is at varying locations. It could be the Museum of Fine Arts. It could be a Charles River canoe deck. Wednesdays, it's the Harvard Stadium where they do this incredibly painful workout going up the really steep benches of
stairs.
The stadium. Stairs, yes, they do that. And some of them do it at just astonishing speeds. And I do it very slowly because I like my front teeth and I don't want to lose them. And Fridays, which are the main ones I go to, are up a super steep hill in Brookline right off of Beacon.
Okay. Well, let's talk to one of the co-founders of the November Project. He's Brogan Graham, and he joins us on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Brogan.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So when did you get the idea, or how did you get the idea to sort of use social media and people's desire to drag themselves out of bed on the dark, dreary days of November to create this, you know, sort of citywide exercise movement?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is just about regular communication. I mean, how often people check Twitter and Facebook is pretty frequent throughout their day. And so whether it's on their phone, riding the train, or at work at lunchtime, the biggest piece for us with social media was about recruiting, because we went from two people to 12 people, and we were psyched. And those 12 people then wanted to know when and where. Then a further spin comes from, you know, having a page that people can like, and then you can tag them and tag your page in a photo. And so then someone's family in El Paso, Texas says, what are you doing up so early running stairs? And what is this November Project? So the buzz in the conversation, whether it's locally or all around the world, comes from free social media. And it's been an amazingly awesome recruiting tool, as well as for scheduling and for giving it some structure.
Now, I hear that social media is also a platform for some public shaming when people say they're going to show up for one of the workouts and don't.
Right. So the biggest thing that we have going is that we create a team / community / friendly family type vibe that you want to be a part of. But sometimes that's not enough to get people to drag themselves out of bed. We don't want to be this thing that people come and kind of take advantage of and then leave and just kind of make it convenient. We really want people to build this community. So when folks come and go, and maybe they say they're going to come and then they blow us off, we have something similar to a wall of shame. We call it the We Missed You page. And it's just one more way that people can shorten that conversation. conversation with their alarm clock as it's going off.
That conversation with the alarm clock. I am so familiar with that one.
Exactly. I think we all are.
Now, mm-hmm. Carrie, I think it's a terrific idea. It's free, the November Project. Mm-hmm. You get the sense of community through social media as well. But you've spoken with fitness experts about the November Project. What do they have to say about it?
They said it's really interesting that it is free and that so many people want to be part of it. They've already hit 300 people at one workout. It's also part of a really major trend in the country right now, which is these sort of outside the gym routines, like boot camps and park courses and things that require very little equipment. So that's the trend that it fits into. But then what's so interesting is that it has this synergy with social media in that you've got a thing that's fairly easy to do and then you get lots of people to do it. I spoke with one expert, Gary Liguori, who's the head of Health and Human Performance Department at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And he said that what really struck him about the November Project was that they were so far ahead in terms of using social media to motivate people, that the fitness field tends to use pretty old traditional ways to motivate people, like saying you should exercise on this day and here's the exercise you should do. Whereas the November Project actually uses all the tools of social media to create this community and get people connected and then use that connection to get them to work out.
Well, I actually see it as possibly a rare example of how social media can be used not just to motivate people, but actually motivate them to action. I mean, that's kind of
the big missing piece,
isn't it?
Yes.
Brogan, let me ask you, the other thing that Carrie said, which I think is fascinating, is that you use the city or areas of the city as your gym, essentially. So where do you decide how to go and what workouts to do? Or how do you decide that?
Yeah, off the top of your head, as an athlete that's been training in Boston for, you know, a decade now, you know, you start kind of thinking about fields, you start thinking about stairs and stadiums differently, and all of a sudden, your whole map of Boston becomes a resource.
Brogan Graham is co-founder of the November Project. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Great, as always, to have you.
And I'll see you Friday morning.
Well, we'll see about that. Listeners, there's more information and a video of the November group in action. It's all at commonhealth.wbur.org.
So, polls close in a little more than 4 hours here in Massachusetts, a little more than 3 hours in Virginia, which will offer some of the first clues about the outcome of this very close presidential race. Meghna, we were both out at the polls today. Before we go today, give me a sense of what you observed out there.
Well, a couple things. First, it's been 2 years in this presidential race.
A lifetime.
Do you remember a couple days ago we played some tape from Mitt Romney in the Republican primaries, and I was just all over our producers saying, you have it written down. June 2011. That can't possibly be, but it's true. Those primaries were over a year and a half ago. But anyway, even given that, I went to Waltham, which, as you know, Anthony, is one of those bellwether communities in Massachusetts. It tends to vote the way the state does overall. And when I went there before 12 o'clock this afternoon, poll workers were telling me that they'd already seen half of their registered voters come through. So my first takeaway, that even though voter turnout in America is never really up in the 90% where some other countries are, after being barraged by politics and ads for two continuous years, people are still coming to the polls.
Yeah, which is sort of amazing. I mean, of course, we always talk about voting as a constitutional right, and it is. But after we've been through what we've been through, it's also a huge relief. Finally, after all, we can silence those ads and finally vote.
Absolutely. Well, the other thing I came away with today is the fact that I think the media really sells the Massachusetts voters short. And here's what I mean. I met two voters in Waltham in particular. The first is Bob Quinn, and here's how he describes himself.
I consider myself independent, but I do tend towards the Democratic ticket. I'm concerned about tackling the deficit.
So Bob's an independent with shades of blue who's really worried about the deficit. How do you think he voted in the Senate race, Anthony? Remember, Waltham's one of those bellwethers, and in 2010, it voted for Scott Brown over Martha Coakley, 50-49%.
All right. Well, I'll go with first principles. Waltham's a bellwether. He voted for Scott Brown.
Well, here's what he said.
And I think the Republicans would be terrible at reducing it, let alone eliminating it.
So I appreciate that you went with first principles, but isn't that exactly the point?
That is the point.
That Massachusetts voters often don't really, even though we like in the media, we paint them as such, they don't operate according to first principles. So here's another voter I met. Her name is Leslie, and she wouldn't give us her last name, but she was standing outside a polling place with a no on question two sign. That, of course, is the ballot question on physician-assisted suicide.
Because I think it's like killing people.
And how are you and the people you're working with feeling? Because I think that it's very close in Massachusetts.
Yes. We're actually from church, the Catholic churches in Massachusetts, all together about this.
And have you voted today?
I did. I vote for Obama.
For President Obama.
President
and what about
Obama. For the U.S. Senate?
For the U.S. Senate, I voted for... I forgot the name of him.
Your choices are Scott Brown or Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth Warren. Democrat.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
So Leslie's a straight down the ticket Democrat, maybe not excited enough about Elizabeth Warren to remember her name, but she's true to the party. But this is interesting. And you and I were talking about this before the show, Anthony. Mm-hmm. She's also a deeply religious Massachusetts Catholic who's voting on a highly contentious ballot measure in a way that doesn't align with simple, quote unquote, progressive stereotypes.
No, it's a good reminder. The voters, their motivations, they don't always fall into these neat categories that we want them to. Red, blue. There's a lot more purple out there than I think we give credit for.
Exactly. And even in Massachusetts, where on all those electoral college maps, the state is painted as solid blue. But in truth, this is a complicated, diverse state that's just not a monolithic slab we can sort of slap a label on. So that's one of my big takeaways, that tonight, no matter what, it's going to be quite a ride here.
It is going to be quite a ride. So I'm going to end. Here's my final thought about the election. Motorcades. All right, so that's the sound of Mitt Romney's motorcade rocketing through Belmont. He came to vote this morning. That's where we started the show. But here's the thing about motorcades. I spent the better part of a year riding in one of these motorcades. We're talking about 20 cars, Secret Service, state bomb squads, ambulances, the press corps, armored Suburbans, and they fly through these cities. It doesn't matter if it's rush hour, doesn't matter if it's evening or night. We put a man on the moon. We also learn how to bring a motorcade through a rush hour, through the rush hour in any American city. I think it's an amazing thing.
Regardless of size, exactly. Well, so that's good. So we have that logistics down.
Yes, we do.
No matter what else you want to say about the election.
More challenges
we
to
can
come,
do
but
that.
We've resolved that.
Well, WBR continues its election coverage this evening. Anthony will be reporting live from Mitt Romney's headquarters, and I will be at Elizabeth Warren. WBUR will be everywhere else as well. But for now, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.